WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
And a very good evening. Welcome to Brian's Beat. I'm Brian. This is the original show. Born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. On the 18th day of December. The news is swirling rapidly. I had a plan to talk about one particular, maybe two things. I've got three or four that we can shoot into. No pun intended. But as I like to do, today is International Migrants Day. When I tell you International Migrants Day, what are you thinking? Me too. Me too. However, International Migrants Day predates Donald Trump being in office. Just thought I'd bring that to your attention. It is also National Regifting Day. I don't know that the big joke about regifting seems to be with the fruitcakes. Now, I'm not a fruitcake fan. I've seen a few. I haven't regifted them because, quite frankly, I don't know anybody that would want one. And I would be afraid that somebody, oh, you're regifting. I think when people regift, they don't want the person receiving the hand-me-gift down to know that it's a hand-me-gift down. I wouldn't want to know that. Anyway, I would always look at a fruitcake, if I was giving a fruitcake to somebody, as a regift. Now, there are times that I might think differently. If I know somebody bakes fruitcakes and they happen to give me one, well, then I'm going to think, oh, at least it's a fresh fruitcake. I might not eat it, but at least I have an idea how that person is feeling. And, you know, they make fruitcakes and it might be good, but I'm not one of those to really just try it out. The United States celebrated its very first Thanksgiving on this date in 1777. Now, I hope you hear the error in what I just stated. To repeat, the United States celebrated the very first Thanksgiving on this date in 1777. How could the United States celebrate Thanksgiving during a war? But more importantly, we weren't the United States in 1777. United Colonies, okay. Confederate States of America, close. But we weren't the United States of America in 1777. Here's a little more proof that we weren't, because in 1787, so 10 years after, on the very same date, the state, republic, whatever you want to call it, of New Jersey became just the third state to ratify the Constitution. 10 years later, we weren't the United States in 1777. And in theory, we were becoming the United States in 1787. A little bit of history. William Seward, he was Secretary of State at the time, proclaimed the adoption of the 13th Amendment as we have been told several times, the 13th Amendment ended slavery. Oh, no, no. We've been told that the Emancipation Proclamation ended slavery. The Emancipation Proclamation, I think, took effect in 1861. Maybe it was 1862. At any rate, it did not end slavery. It forbade slavery in the states that seceded from the United States. So how did that end slavery? The states to the north, with the exception of Maryland and there was one other, they had to end slavery. But the states down south, they didn't have to. And in fact, there is a question about whether Maryland had to end slavery with the Emancipation Proclamation, because they went up into the north. And I think if you read the wording of the Emancipation Proclamation, you'll find that states that stayed within the Union got a reprieve. Funny how the United States, even when we're not the United States, or even when we are the United States, works. The Brian's Beat quote of the day: the delicate balance of mentoring someone is not creating them in your own image, but giving them the opportunity to create themselves. The delicate balance of mentoring someone is not creating them in your own image, but giving them the opportunity to create themselves. Steven Spielberg with our quote of the day. Okay, so I keep on seeing the video on TV of the husky, I guess is a term used for this 5'8 guy who's wearing a jacket, has a mask on his face, hat on his head, crossing the street in Providence. Apparently, he's got a name, but the authorities are, I don't blame them in this particular case. They're not releasing the name just in case they don't have the right person. Remember the screw up by the FBI just a couple of days ago, 4 days ago, by, oops, we released the name. They're doing their best to cover it up, but, you know, it's kind of late. But be that as it may, and contrary to our conversation Tuesday evening, now it seems that there might be a connection between the Providence and the Brookline shooting, the MIT professor at his home. Tuesday, the authorities told us, nah, not possible. Well, I guess it is possible. But if it is the same person, and I'm saying if, not saying it is or it isn't, if it is the same person, then the FBI really screwed up when they went into that hotel room in Coventry thinking that they had the right person and grandstanding the way that they did on early Sunday morning. And I gotta say this, that particular person, whether or not he tries to pursue anything in a court of law, it has to be like a weight of boulders off of his back to know that the authorities are looking elsewhere and they're not thinking him, because you know that they've kept an eye on him and he wasn't up in the Brookline area. Wow. Unbelievable. So, you know, I didn't know if that case was going to be resolved or not. But the one case that has really been gnawing at me since I heard about it yesterday were these two store owners up in Boston who had charged nearly $7 million in a SNAP fraud scheme. Now, I have, for it seems like centuries, it's been decades, have been saying that get rid of the SNAP. Give the money back to the people, and the folks won't have to worry about SNAP benefits. Because a lot of people on SNAP are workers, and they've been taxed that money. You know, they're getting a portion of that money back from the federal government. Now, does that mean you get rid of every program? And what about those that are really needy? Couple of things. This country used to operate fairly efficiently through churches and other charitable organizations. They've been, you know, if I could take out the whisk broom, they've been kind of swept away because the government is providing these services. Adoption agencies, and going off course here, but adoption agencies used to be huge at the turn of the century. Were they great? I'm not commenting on whether they were good, bad, indifferent, but they were plentiful. But now that the government has come along and they have figured out a foster program, and basically people are more or less willing to give their kids to the state, or the state finds out and they take the kids. Some of these great programs that used to exist, especially those through churches, pretty small now. Big brother, big sister, they're still around, but they are a mere shell of themselves. Because the government has found a way to take over. Now, let me get back into the SNAP before I get to your calls. In this particular case up in Mattapan, the absolutely extraordinary. Because there are two shop owners, and these shop owners swindled the government out of millions of dollars. And how did they do it? They let folks charge items that normally you can't get with SNAP benefits. Now, I'm going to hear a lot of people say, well, you know, illegals shouldn't be able to get SNAP benefits. I'm not sure in this particular case illegals had anything to do with that. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying I'm not sure. But I am sure that the store owners, the shop owners, were legitimate business owners that committed a scheme, and they got bagged in Baghdad. But that's the problem. You know, you devise a program, and I'm going to just say the government was well-intentioned when they came up with SNAP. In fact, SNAP replaced food stamps because people figured out how to do food stamp fraud. Well, they know how to do SNAP fraud right now. And in this particular case, the SNAP fraud is being perpetrated by these business owners. But I have been around, I've mentioned this before, where people will take their SNAP benefits and they'll go in a Market Basket and they'll buy a whole bunch of, you know, these 2-liter bottles of Coke and or Pepsi, Mountain Dew. With the SNAP, they'll bring them out and have you, the cab driver, take them to a particular store. They go to the store and they redeem those bottles for cash. Because the shop owner can sell those bottles at the regular store price and make a profit. So there are many a scheme that can happen. This one that happened up in Boston is highly outrageous, but it just puts proof to the pudding that it can indeed happen. All right, let's hear from you. 508-996-0500. You're first up tonight. Hello.
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 Hello. So I know you're not surprised this happens. You know, when you think about SNAP, you know, you have a program that's federally funded but managed on the state level. What could go wrong? You know, and I think, like, I'm so highly disappointed, not because I wish I could participate and steal a lot of money from the government, because there's so much money being thrown around, no one's going to know. That was in parentheses. But I'm disappointed, like, on the federal level with DOGE, and then when you go to Minnesota and you go, wow, they gave away that many millions of dollars to an NGO that they weren't tracking, and the NGO basically took it out of the country and did whatever they were doing. I'm not getting into it. I'm not using the illegal alien thing. But they're part of the problem. You can't just say, oh, well, let's not talk about illegal aliens, because that's all part of the problem. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that if it were up to me, I would go to the – if I were the president, I'd go to the IRS and say, as of now, no NGOs get tax benefits. It's over. So you take all these, like, sketchy organizations. You know, you and I could create an NGO. You could create one by yourself. And you get tax-exempt status, and then, you know, you're off and running, you know, creating an income and whatever, petitioning the federal government for funding for your wonderful idea, and some senator will support it, or a rep will support it, and off you go with money. And where is anyone checking? Nope. There's no oversight. And it used to be this whole thing about fiduciary responsibility. When you take tax dollars into a big bucket, whether it's federal or state, you know, there was supposed to be this fiduciary responsibility to manage it at a high level, and that doesn't exist anymore. I mean, they don't care whether they get caught, because they know there's no penalties. They'll get a slap on the wrist because they know enough about the other person that they, you know, the senator or the representative, that they can, you know, everyone's covering for each other. So the only thing I would do right now is I would cancel the ability for an NGO to exist. I know a company, as an example, that was so poorly run and such a mess that when they sold the company, the new ownership came in and said to everybody has been released. Come back in with your resume and apply for your job. And the whole point was, it was so bad that they needed to basically burn it to the ground to restart it, the company.
So how do I tie that in with food stamp fraud? I mean, I understand what NGOs are doing, but unless they're operating a convenience store or a supermarket, they're not really dealing with food stamps.
Yeah, but what, I mean, I understand that it's food stamps, but that's just one program, or one little program in one little market. But, you know, there were millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars given to an NGO in Minnesota for Feed the People, is the name of the NGO. and so they, you know, they walked away with this money and spent it on all sorts of things back in Somalia. You know,
I get that, but how do we, I guess the government or the yous and me's, how do we persuade our House of Representatives that are now on recess until the beginning of the year, how do we persuade them to stop this crap from happening?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I honestly, honest to God, even if they all worked for me and you directly, like said, they reported to us and they get their check from us, I don't think there's anything you can do. I think that every single program in the government is subject to manipulation, and there's people looking to do it, and there's people willing to do it. So, I know you're talking about food stamps specifically, or SNAP benefits, but I don't know what else to say. You could take it all away, but there's going to be a lot of innocent people hurt. But there is no. I'll leave you with this: what's the national level organization in the government that inspector general,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's, Office of the Inspector General.
Yes, that is supposed to be the organization that makes sure that everyone's crossing the T's and dotting the I's. It's a bureaucracy within an elected body, and the bureaucracy doesn't care what the elected body, the president, the executive branch, does. They're working on a lifelong thing. So when DOGE came out and they brought the inspector general in and said, hey, how come you don't know this? How come we had to bring DOGE in? And they said, we didn't think there was anything wrong. I mean,
yeah,
that's how bad the government is. So I don't know what to say, Brian. It's really off the charts.
I got
all
you.
I can tell you.
It's not like I don't know from where you're coming. I do appreciate it. Have a great one.
All right. See ya.
508-996-0500. He's right. I mean, NGOs do it. All look. I go back, and this is not to punch the bag, but Donald Trump, 2015, drain the swamp. Here we are in 2025. He's not even talking about draining the swamp anymore because he knows better. He knows that was one of the things that got him knocked out in 2020. And now he plays along with them. Think whatever you want about Donald Trump, but he plays along with them. Elon Musk. Don't you think that he's getting his fair share of federal contracts? Don't you think that Larry Ellison, the Oracle guy, who now is the Paramount CBS guy, whose son is soon to be the TikTok guy, don't you think? I think I got switched up. I think Larry is TikTok and the son is CBS. Well, either way, it's a family affair. But don't you see, in order for Donald Trump to get back into power, he had to change his ways. He had to play along to get along in order to get back into power. He had to take those federal dollars. And so he got rid of a lot of jobs, a lot of positions. But he's turning around and giving those fat contracts to whom? You know, and I know. 508-996-0500. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Brian, I want you to explain to me exactly what they did, because I just heard it briefly on Howie Carr, but I didn't get the whole thing. But let me back it up for 1 second before you tell me. You knew the place you were going to that time in the cab, and you brought this fella. You know, you could have reported the place that you were dropping the soda off to, because I know a variety store in this area that they shut them down from the EBT because they were doing shady stuff. So if they will go in and investigate, but someone has to open their mouth. In other words, if you see it, you have to report it. Like what that guy was doing when you picked him up, if you would have called on the proprietor, they would have straightened that out. But, you know, these people that are selling them are just as bad. You know, they
To answer your question, the first time around, I did not know. And so when I dropped him off at the store, that is when I knew. The second time around, I didn't even let him get into the cab because I knew what they were doing.
You still knew where the store was.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Yeah, okay. You know what? I could have dropped a dime and I could have lost my gig. You know, who knows what would have happened? I chose just not to transport the people anymore. I figured I was doing my part.
Yeah. But anyways, I know that there's one here that they took it away. And
could
that's
be
what they should do.
Because you know what? My guess is there's more than one, but yeah, I agree. If you find them, definitely take the license. You know, what do you call it? The permit to do food stamps? You take it away.
Yeah. You know what? Another thing I wanted to ask you, what is this thing that pops up that says cash? Do you know anything about that?
What do you mean?
When they pay with EDT, it says cash. Some of them have a cash.
Yes, yes.
Because
the welfare dollars also come in that card. And so if you're allowed to buy clothing or other things, that money is on the card. So when you go to use your card, let's say at JCPenney, you want to use the card at JCPenney, then you would hit the cash. So the cash part pays. If you're at the grocery store,
you hit
the food part.
I don't think they take EBT cards at JCPenney.
They take debit cards. It's also a debit card.
I don't understand that whole part about it anyway.
I guess the government doesn't want to issue two separate cards.
Well, why do they get cash? What are they getting cash for? I don't get it.
For clothing.
Well, like a welfare check?
Yes. That's how they do welfare now.
Oh, I didn't know nothing about it. So tell me exactly what the scam was up there. What they were doing and how much and how they were doing
it. Well, I can't give you the how much because there's a lot of how much. But in essence, what the store operators were doing is they were allowing the people that came in with their EBT cards to charge for things that weren't food items. And, you know, a lot of them were fairly large ticket items, $45, $90, that kind of stuff.
So in other words, that the $45 item that wasn't food, they would make believe it was food.
Correct. The store owners would.
Right,
yeah.
So right there, that's fraud on their part. Mm-hmm. So they should be in big trouble. Where's the people back in the country that you said they came from?
I'm sorry, I don't remember anybody coming from a different country.
Are these people American that own this place?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Where is this? What town is this one in?
Mattapan.
Oh, boy. So anyway, everybody's just so money mongers everywhere you go.
Well, let's see. One person, 74 years old of Mattapan, and the other person, 21 years old of Hyde Park.
Well, I hope they do some time. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I was looking to see exactly how much they could get for that. Defendant's monthly stamp redemptions, that's not it. I'll find it and I'll let you know.
Oh, and you know what I want to tell you before you hang up?
Hmm.
On Howie Carr, it said that this supposedly suspect, is up in New Hampshire right now.
That's one of the things that I was just reading. They're looking up there.
I know, that's confusing me.
Why?
That's confusing me.
I heard you, but I'm asking why.
Because what? If he's up in New Hampshire, why don't they do something and get him? Why are they letting him roam around?
Here's my guess. I think they have an idea. He's up there. Maybe he used a debit card or something that is a clue, but they don't know exactly where he is.
Yeah, but yesterday when you were talking, or the day before, you weren't in yesterday, I did think it was connected to the MIT.
Yes, you did.
All right, I'll be listening.
All right. I appreciate the call. 508-996-0500. Let's pay a bill or two, and then we'll come back with your calls.
The supply chain is not part of the economy. The supply chain is the economy.
This is WBSM.
Here's what's happening this week on Town Square Sunday. As the year wraps up, Jack Spillane from the New Bedford Light will offer some thoughts on New Bedford City government and reflect on some of the major news stories of the year. And Stan Levine and Maria Connor will be inviting everyone to a free Christmas dinner. They're carrying on a tradition that began more than 50 years ago. I'm Jim Phillips. Join me for Town Square Sunday, Sunday morning at 6 and 11 on 1420 WBSM and 99.5 FM.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At legitimate business funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find legitimate business funders online at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Back to Brian's Beat.
That with inside 10 years, most public education will be non-existent.
Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson.
Thank you, Mark. Next.
Welcome back to Brian's Beat. Just to follow up on this this whole food stamp thing out of Mattapan. If the defendants are convicted, the charge of food stamp fraud involving more than $100 carries a potential sentence of up to 5 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of up to $250,000. Hmm. 5 years for food stamp fraud. You know what? I don't know how long these guys were doing this food stamp fraud. The authorities are saying close to $7 million. That tells me over six. I don't know. I do know. Even though I don't know, I do know that there are other folks in the country perpetrating a fraud similar to this, and also smaller frauds dealing with food stamps. The problem is, you've got governments or people within government believing that the program is a necessary evil, and they're willing to let your tax dollars go out the window in order to make sure that the program, that their pet project, is getting taken care of, and they'll try to catch people along the way. Like $7 million when you've got a, what, $38, $39, $40 trillion debt. I guess $7 million isn't a big thing. But you want to know something? That's the federal government's money, so to speak. But when you break it down into the individual states, you're talking billions of dollars. And when you get down to the people within those states, that's where you get into the millions and the hundreds of thousands. And I believe, and I could be wrong, correct me if you think I'm wrong about this, I believe that the majority of us would prefer to have that money, and we can give of our own will to any charity that we want to help X, Y, or Z. But we don't get the option because we are taxed to the nth degree that when it's time, you know, you have you noticed at the grocery stores when the Starvation Army kettle person is ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, you don't see as many people giving this year? Why do you think that is? You think people don't like giving? Or do you think people are a little tapped out right now and they're going into the grocery store because they need to pay an outrageous price for broccoli. That's what's going on. And so the people strumming away in the kettles, I wish them the best. I'm not giving anywhere near as much this year as I have in previous years. And I feel sorry for the folks. But, you know, at some particular point, I have to say, look, people that are operating our governments, screw them. Screw them. I'm not big on this idea of trying to resolve what's going on with the Obamacare and whatnot, but it's something that people believe needs to be resolved one way or the other. And when the Speaker of the House gavels Congress out of session until the beginning of next year, knowing full well that there are people that are listening to me right now that are going to be hurting because their health insurance premiums are going to go pew, through the roof. That's a problem. That's a problem that Congress, who doesn't have to worry about what's happening with their own health care, they're just kind of sticking it right up our butt and saying, hey, we might take care of it, we might not. How does that make you feel? Doesn't matter if you are Republican, Independent, Democrat, you're getting the shaft. We're all getting it. We're all feeling it. And again, I don't know how long these guys, Bonaire and how do you pronounce that last name? Antonio Bonaire, he's a 74-year-old, and Saul Ellismy. He's the 21-year-old from Hyde Park, charged each with one count of food stamp fraud. I wonder how they figure one count. They did it so many times. Whatever. They operated small variety stores that generated extraordinarily high SNAP redemption volumes that far out exceeded what would be reasonable to be supported by legitimate food sales. This guy, Bonaire, his store was roughly 150 square feet. The other guy, Saul, had a larger 500 square foot storefront. The defendant's monthly SNAP redemptions reportedly ranged from $100,000 to as much as $500,000. Actually doing better than some of the supermarkets. Investigators cited transaction-level data that showed highly unusual spending patterns. Only about 10% of SNAP transactions at the stores were under $40. Look, if you buy food with SNAP, how many items are you buying that cost more than $40? I mean, even if you get a steak, Captain Crunch, you not one item is costing you $40. Certainly, if you're on a limited budget, like what SNAP could possibly offer you, more than 70% of the items exceeded $95. Prosecutors say such transaction sizes are typically of large grocery stores and inconsistent with small variety stores that carry limited food inventory. And then apparently these guys were pretty clever, or so they thought they were. They would turn around and they would take the money that they're getting and put it into other bank accounts and shift through other bank accounts so as to conceal what they were doing. Well, they got bagged. Has there been any change with the Brown / MIT story? Lario is the professor that was shot and killed Monday night at his home in Brookline. And this guy sounds like he was a whiz kid. He was a faculty member in the departments of nuclear science and engineering and physics. Director of MIT's Plasma Science and Fusion Center. And apparently he was working on some type of energy thing, you know, basically, hopefully making energy less expensive for the me's and you's. Who knows? But now, and I think it really happened last night, the authorities are now believing that the Brown University killer is the same guy that took out this MIT professor. What's the tie-in besides smart schools, engineering departments? I don't know. But my guess is if the authorities are truly going down this road, and I believe that they are, they must have figured out something. They must have maybe some video. They haven't shown any video, really, from Brookline or from MIT. But they keep regurgitating the several videos that they have from around Brown University. That may be to try to throw the suspect off. I say this often, if I'm that suspect, I have figured out a way to get out of here. I'm not even in New Hampshire. But that's me. People like to stick around. They want to hear what's going on. If you think they've got your name, hopefully, you know, trying to put the criminal hat on, you're not using your debit card. You're not using a card that will identify you. You're not using an automobile that will identify you. You're trying to be on cash as best as possible. And maybe you can get on a bus, but I don't even know what it, I mean, if you get on a CERTA bus, nobody is checking you out. But if you get on Continental Trailways or DATCO, you know, and you have to buy a ticket, somebody might be checking an ID. So things are drastically different than they were, you know, a few years ago. And as far as this alleged killer is, you know, I'm not expecting him to just give himself up. Hello.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
And I agree. I do not believe this guy's just going to give himself up.
I mean, he's kept himself at bay for, what, 4 or 5 days now?
Yes. Yes, he has. He's stayed well hidden. And but just to think he went on to commit that second murder and how quickly it was dismissed that the two crimes were not connected.
Mm-hmm.
That's very troubling. Very, very troubling.
Now, do you think that maybe, I'm just going to bring this up since you did, actually. Do you think it's possible that the authorities deliberately said that to change the scent of the investigation?
I would hope not. But just the way it happened so quickly, and they just denied any involvement or any tie-in almost immediately, it does make you wonder.
Well, it does.
It really does.
And the reason why I say that is because of the big snafu that they did at the hotel in Coventry. Maybe they want to throw people off because, you know, this guy's saying, oh, they're down in Coventry. They're thinking something absolutely different. He goes and plugs the guy up in Boston. And so now there's no tie-in. That's just my wild thinking.
Right. Right. No, I would have to go with that scenario too, because it's just so much of it that doesn't make any sense. Speaking of something else that doesn't make any sense, did you see where President Trump has decided to rename the Kennedy Center?
Is it the Trump Kennedy Center?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh.
Absolutely gorgeous.
And that's going to be the second building in D.C. that he's renamed for himself.
Here's what I'm expecting. Folks are going to let this kind of stuff happen. If there's a natural transition after he is done, the names will be that the Trump name will be taken off of stuff.
I agree. I really think that's going to be the course of action here. But geez, I don't know.
No, I don't either. I'm expecting him to try to keep himself in power. Hey, only because of time, I got to let you go. But
okay,
I do appreciate the call, my man. Thank you.
To change something, you must build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete.
WBSM. Traveling for business or pleasure? Instead of booking online, first call Low Cost Air at 800-221-6085. Let a real person compare prices and schedules before AI takes over. With Low Cost Air, booking is your option, which means there's no obligation to purchase anything at all. Call Low Cost Air to compare. 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
This is called the fog of war. This is what you and the press don't understand.
He always likes to say that. What you in the press do not understand. Well, I guess we don't understand it. Little Compton, 43 degrees. 37 in Middleborough, 40 degrees.